here at camp. I got to witness God's healing. We had a counselor who was down for the count one night, could barely move, in a lot of pain. And I just felt led that night as I was going in front of their cabin to just pray for her. And the next day we had worship in the morning. And I looked over to see, you know, how she was doing. And during worship, she was jumping and dancing and worshiping God. And I thank the Lord that I got to see something that I had prayed for, because I was a new Christian at the time. Something that I could see that God did while I was here at camp. Another year we had a camper who, let's say, wasn't working out, wasn't getting along with every other camper here. And we were asking him to leave. And we called parents and actually had him leave the camp. But I remember before he left that I was somewhere around camp. And I just remember praying for him. And I was just bawling my eyes out. I had never felt that much compassion for somebody. Just to know that at least the time that he was here, that he got something out of being here. That he met God in some way. Last year, I remember speaking on this, have that feeling of being alone when there are hundreds of people around me. It was a strange feeling. It's like not being part of something. But this year he showed me something different. And I was grateful for what he showed me. Now, normally, in the past 15 years, as much as I could, I would try to take off 2 weeks to come serve a camp. When I was changing jobs early, it was very difficult to take off because I didn't have the time to do it. But I had started in late 2020 at my new job. And when I first started, they said, come January, everybody's getting 3 weeks of vacation. They hadn't done that for the people who started before. They were only given, I guess, only told that there'd be a week's vacation per year. So last year we were given 3 weeks. So I said, well, I'm gonna take 2 weeks off. Little did I know, later in the year, I was gonna get sick. And then I was out of work for 2 weeks without pay because I used it up coming to camp. So because my health hasn't been the best, I think it was the most sickness I've had in my life in a year. I wanted to be a little more cautious this year. But I still wanted to be able to serve a camp. So what I did was able to take half days. So I was able to work in the morning and then come here in the afternoon. And I think that most of what we do here takes place in the afternoon. You know, we have games in that morning and a teaching. But I wouldn't be missing much because by the time I got here, I had 8 hours of trying to help. And I didn't want to miss my opportunity to teach. Every year, Micah, Esther, Pastor Jesse, Miss Marcy, look for those who would help with the teachings during the week. And the last several years, I've been able to work it out where I'd be available to teach. And now, God doesn't usually give me a word in advance. It's usually last minute. And this year it kind of worked out okay because we received our teachings not long before. But then the day of my teaching, I thought I had everything ready to go. The day of my teaching, I'm at work and he gives me more. And I wrote down, I think, a full page of notes of what he gave me. And I'm like, now I'm going to fit this in. And my teaching's in 4 hours. I got it in. I wasn't as organized as I wanted to be, but I got it in. And I hoped that the teaching was good and that the campers became what God wanted the campers to know came across. So I said that God shows me different things every year I'm here. During the first week, I figured I would be really busy. That I would go to work, come here, and then just be nonstop stuff to do. But Mike and Esther were very gracious to me this year. When I got here after work, I would have free time with Carrie for as soon as I got here. So I'd have time with my wife, and then we'd get into serving camp. But I had mentioned to a few people, I work in Bloom. If you feel you need something, I'm already here. Why send somebody out to go get it? Just have it ready and I'll pick it up. Well, that happened the first few days of the week. So Carrie and I didn't get to spend too much time together at the beginning. And then there were a couple times when I showed up and I would get inundated by counselors saying, hey, this is broke. Now, we were a little short-staffed this year on the maintenance team. So I was glad to just help. I'm not the best maintenance person, but I'll at least try and fix something. And then I remember on Friday, we had just got done with all the programs for everybody. And Jesse came up to me and said, hey, could you help run and get ice? I have a meeting that just happened to pop up and I can't do it. So I said, sure. Now, he didn't know that I already had a set of plans that night. I was going to visit my mother and pick up food that she made for Saturday. But I was like, that's fine. I can run and help you. And then I just asked Carrie if she would mind doing what I was supposed to do. So one of the things God showed me was be available. Drop your itinerary and help others. This became apparent to me the most on Sunday evening. I was up here in the sanctuary. I had my grocery list of things to do. I had to run home, get some stuff done there, come back, shower, get ready for bed because I had work the next day. So I was up in the sanctuary waiting because I wasn't sure if I was needed. I was waiting for Carrie to come out of the meeting and let me know that I'm good to go. And I was just staring out the window, watching the activities going on out there. I saw Marcy and Lydia come out from her cabin, and they talked, and then they seemed to separate fairly quickly. One went to the basement, one came up this way. I'm like, that's strange. The next thing I know, Lydia's coming to me and said, "Mr. Chris, Grammy needs you. Someone was in an accident." I didn't ask questions. I knew where she was headed, so I ran downstairs and found out that one of the counselors that had come up that weekend to visit, a former counselor, was heading home and gotten into an accident on his way home. And his mom was here working, so I just said, "Get in the car, let's go." Didn't stop to talk to anybody, just ran, took her to the scene. And we were very grateful to see him walking from his car. And the paramedic said, "Oh, we're just going to take him to the hospital, check him out. He may have broken his nose." So I said, "Just get in the car, I'll take you there." She didn't have a car here, so I was grateful that I was still here and not over at my house doing my list. And we got to the hospital. I said, "Look, I'm going to wait as long as it takes. I'll be here. I have nothing planned other than I knew I had to go to bed at some point." And I said, "I wait as long as it took for your husband to come up, because I guess he was on his way up from Coatesville, 2.5 hours away." So I waited. And then my wife would call me and she said, "You want some relief?" I said, "No, I'm good." But she insisted because she knew I had to get to bed. So her and her sister came over, and her sister took over for me. She sat there and waited till her husband arrived. And then I came back here. I was tired. It was about 10 o'clock, I guess. And so she ended up leaving. I ended up going to get my shower and get ready for bed. And I was just about to go to bed and I see my phone light up. I'm like, "What now?" My phone says, "Dad, you just hit a deer. I'm off on the side of the road. I don't know what to do." So I ended up just trying to text her, find out what was wrong, something wrong with the car. "Are you okay?" She really wasn't very responsive. She seemed very upset. And now my body was telling me, "Do whatever you can to solve this issue while you're here and you don't have to go anywhere." But my spirit said, "Go." And after her not responding to the questions that I'm asking, I just said, "Well, I'm coming up." And I said, "I'll be there, just don't move." So Carrie and I took the car, went up to Hunlock Creek, up near the drive-in theater. She was off on the side of the road and she was visibly upset. But I was with her for a little bit. I said, "Your car's fine. You can drive it. I'll follow you part of the way up just to make sure you're good. And if you're good, just keep going." And then we came back. I think we were back after midnight. So what I got was, stop what you're doing. Drop your plans and go help. Today's verse is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But instead of me reading it, I did find a clip. If you have seen The Chosen, this explains it a little better visually.
Simon, it's been a month since you have visited Ima.
You know how it's been, work, and I know I haven't been a good... Wait, why are they here? No. Look, I love your Ima like she was my own.
But she loves you.
But we can't
Abraham
take...
Abraham and his family are all in my home.
This is really bad timing.
When is a good time to fall ill, Simon?
Guys, the answer is no.
You knew it. You always told me...
What kind of man are you?
Son of Jonah.
You always told me.
You have no honor, son of Jonah.
You're so good at touching your head.
Sacrificing me, yeah? Where's the honor in that, huh?
Joseph! Joseph, Abraham. If Simon says it's a bad time, he has good reason it's a bad time.
Thank you, Eden.
A bad time for you, not for me.
Ani.
No. If I can't be there for my own Ima when she's sick, what am I? I'm nothing. I'm not a daughter.
You'll
I'm not a
always
sister.
Be my...
Nothing.
Avram, Jeho, please, go be with your Ima or go outside and meet some privacy.
Eden.
I'm not talking to your sister. I'm talking to my wife in my own home. And if you're not out of this room in 3 seconds, I will beat you both with my bare hands. I can't do this anymore. Please, please listen to me. I haven't been honest with you. There's no woman. It's not gambling. Look, a few days ago, I looked you in the eyes and I told you, I've got this. I lied.
What do you mean?
I've been fishing on Shabbat because I've had no choice. Andrew has text debts. I've got text debts. We haven't been able to keep up. I did some things I'm not proud of to fix it, and now it's gone bad. We're in trouble.
We? What do you mean?
I'm in trouble. But we, because I need a miracle, or I can be in big trouble.
I'm not a child. Stop speaking of riddles. Tell me what's happening.
I could go to prison. We could lose the house.
What?
The cut in my ear, it's from a Roman.
Simon!
If I don't catch a ton of fish or get some help somehow, they'll arrest me.
Or kill you. They are Romans!
Yeah, so I need to go now.
Go where?
The fish. I gotta spend the rest of the week doing nothing but catch every fish I can and hope I can fix this somehow. So that's why we can't take your Ima. It's just not possible.
No, right? She has nothing to do with this. I would not let you punish her for your sins.
Eden, you can't do this alone.
Can't tell me what I can or can't do. You have had your eyes closed around here, and God is with me, even if you aren't.
Sorry.
Where is your faith?
What?
You heard me.
And faith isn't gonna get me more fish.
I'm not talking about tonight. I am talking about long before tonight. You've been different. Before it was gambling, and now it's working, and trying to do everything yourself. The popular Simon, fixing everything and charming everyone all by yourself. And fishing on holy days without even thinking about it, with no respect for our God.
What about Pikuach Nefesh? We can break a commandment to save a life. Our lives are at stake here.
You don't know that because you have not pursued the Lord lately. Not like the man that I married. That is why you are stuck and you feel desperate and now you're off to try to fix it yourself again. So go. I don't want you here tonight anyway.
I'm sorry.
I know you're sorry. I know. And I'm glad you're at least honest with me. But no more talking. Maybe God can get your attention now.
Simon! It's happened, Simon.
What are you talking about? Did you run all the way from Jerusalem?
We're saved. I saw him with my own eyes, Simon.
Who?
It was incredible.
And Drew, who did you see?
The Lamb of God. He who takes away the sin of the world. Simon, we're standing by the Jordan, and John the Baptizer pointed at the man who was walking. And Simon, are you listening?
Yeah, you're just not saying anything.
I saw the Messiah today. The man all of us, including you, have been praying for our whole lives. Don't you even care?
Was he a big man?
Big? No.
Rich?
No.
You didn't see him, he could bail us out of this debt to Rome?
Maybe he was a doctor.
Oh. So he can't help with Eden's Ima, who's now living with us, Andrew.
That's just...
So pardon me if I'm not exactly jumping out of my sandals because Creepy John pointed at someone.
You're scared.
Lost everything. Burnt every bridge.
It doesn't matter. The Romans don't matter if the Messiah has arrived. Anything is possible now. Don't you see?
That'd be nice.
Where are you going?
Go ahead, Eden. Your brothers are trying to cook. I can smell it. Following me now, huh?
It's a matter of accountability.
And you're here to make sure Quintus knows where to go when it's time to hurt me.
To settle your debt. I keep track of things. I do it well. Quintus knows I do it well.
You're a little off, aren't you?
You should turn yourself in. We can accompany you.
Still pursuing every option.
There are none. You must provide information implicating the guilty fishermen or balance the books, somehow.
Andrew says anything's possible.
Not mathematically.
Yeah, but what if, you know?
You'll only be subjecting your family and friends to needless anguish by prolonging the inevitable.
These are other big words.
But no one listens to me. Not like they do you. You have a singular talent.
That's something at least.
And I assume you are not headed to the authorities.
Going fishing.
Variables. People are always adding variables. Does it change anything to know you only have until sun up?
Sun up. But Shabbat's not for 3 days.
Quintus is convinced you've double-crossed him. He's coming.
I'm still going fishing.
Turn yourself in. You have no feasible plan.
I told you my plan. If I'm going down, it will be doing what God bid me to do. Tell your boss he can come get me off the water.
We should be counting our blessings.
Adonai is great indeed.
Now, this trip could not have gone any better if we had planned every moment.
My eyes are always open anew in this land.
Not to mention the new opportunities our successes here will no doubt unlock.
We will stay here another fortnight, or until all of my research is concluded.
But, Nico, surely you can conclude your research in Jerusalem if the archives are there.
The matter is decided.
I'm expecting no one.
It's important. I need to see him. I'm sorry to interrupt at this hour, Rabbi. I bring news regarding the heretic called John.
The baptizer?
Romans have taken him into custody.
How did you hear of this?
Shmuel, Rabbi. I believe he may have given the Romans his location.
We do not lightly turn Jews over to the Romans. Did the Sanhedrin order this?
No, teacher.
I want to question the baptizer myself. I'll make inquiries. Thank you, Yosef.
Yes, Rabbi.
And I will discuss this with Shmuel myself. Eh?
People bark sometimes, too.
Cast after cast. I will make your descendants as many as the stars in the heavens. And then what? Huh? Make the chosen as many as the stars. Only to let Egypt enslave us for generations. bring us out of Egypt. Part the Red Sea, only to let us wander in the desert for 40 years. Give us the land, only to let us be exiled in Babylon. Bring us back, only to be crushed by Rome. This is the God I've served so faithfully my entire life. You're the God I'm supposed to thank. You know, if I didn't know any better, I'd say you enjoy yanking us around like goats and can't decide whether we're chosen or not. Which one is it? Huh?
Simon.
Andrew?
Who are you talking to?
Apparently no one.
You shouldn't joke like that, my friend.
Yeah, your friends might think you've lost faith.
James and John, I presume. And who brought the old man?
I heard you need a real fisherman.
How'd you know I was here?
Eden may be angry, but she's not too proud to ask for help.
Ah, so you told her the whole story, huh?
Yeesh. How'd she take it?
Let's just say it's my last night as a free man, and I'm fishing.
Your last night?
Quintus.
Well, there are only so many hours in the night, huh? Let's fish.
Catch nothing. In the morning, maybe you could hide in the merchant caravans, escape to Egypt.
Fish the Nile.
You've got perch the size of children.
Egypt is a Roman province now.
Nah, Eden hates Egypt.
So? She can wait for you to send money.
I'm hoping if I let Quintus and his boys take out their frustrations on me, he'll eventually allow me visitors. Let down.
So, about the news I was to tell you about. I was walking with John, they called the baptizer.
Andrew.
What's he on about?
And he pointed at him.
No more.
And he said, behold, the Lamb.
Andrew, I said, just, please, not another word from you about this lamb of yours. We don't need a lamb. We need fish.
John was right. You have a chance. Sneak into a merchant caravan and get away.
I won't leave the land of our father. And they'll find me, I'm sure. Maybe the baptizer could make me a disguise out of an old camel's hide.
Let's pull up.
James! James! Help!
Zeb!
Come around.
Sometimes the sea bests all of us. It's not your night.
All right. Time to be done.
Scum couldn't even wait.
We're right with you.
Make sure Eden is safe.
You hear me, Andrew?
Hey, those aren't soldiers.
I might still have time to see Eden.
Go and clean our nets. Stick around to make sure you can leave.
Simon, it's him.
Excuse me.
That's him, Simon, that's him.
No time for this, Andrew.
It's him, Simon, it's the man. John said he's here, right now.
May I ask a favor? I'm teaching these people and apparently they're having trouble hearing me. If I could stand on your boat, that would be helpful.
They're having trouble hearing you, huh?
Yes, yes, of course. Please, please, stand on my boat. Thank you.
I need to go. I'm sorry. No time for this today.
Stay a few moments longer. I have something for you.
For me? I'm in a hurry?
Yes, I know. Just allow me a few moments. Please.
Sam, trust me as I have trusted you. This man is the Messiah.
It's good to see you again, Andrew.
Yes.
I'm Jesus. Thanks for this.
Simon.
In my last moments with you, I want to share another story. Can everyone hear me? Well, let's thank our friends for this strong boat, huh? Trust me, my yelling voice is not easy on the ears. Because I'm on this boat, my final parable should be about fishing, yes? Simon, please send me that net. When this net is thrown into the sea, what happens, Simon?
Well,
I mean most of the time.
It gathers.
A little louder.
It gathers fish.
Yes. This net gathers fish. All kinds of fish, yes?
Yes.
All kinds of fish. And the kingdom of heaven is like what happens next. After the net is full, Simon and the others draw it to the shore, sit down, and sort out the fish. The good fish go into the barrels, and the bad fish thrown away. So it will be at the end of the age. Angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace. Do you understand? Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, like you all are now, is like the master of a house who brings forth his treasures, both new and old. You are to do the same with this knowledge. These parables I tell make sense to some, not to others. Be patient. That is all for today. I have some business to attend to with my new friend. Put that down for a catch. A little farther out.
I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. But we've been doing this all night. Nothing. All right. At your word.
Brother and the baptizer. You are the Lamb of God, yes?
I am.
Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done.
Don't be afraid, Simon.
I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry.
Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do.
Follow me.
I will.
You as well. Yes, you, James and John, come, follow me.
I'll take the fish into market and settle up Simon's debt. I'll get some help to fill both of these boats.
Are you sure?
Yes, go.
What will you tell Ima?
We've just been called by the man we prayed for our entire lives. And you ask me, what will I say when you miss supper? Go, now.
So, you sure you don't want to do this just a few more times? Well, we'll make a great team on the boat.
Son.
Joking.
Fish are nothing. You have much bigger things ahead of you, Simon, son of Jonah. Did you understand that parable I told earlier? From now on, I will make you fishers of men. And you are to gather as many as possible, all kinds. I will sort them out later.
So Simon is distraught, tired, worried. He'd been out all night and got nothing. And he's asked to drop his nets in the water once more. I bet he's thinking, I'm already exhausted. If I have to do this again, it's going to be a waste of time. And then I'll have to spend hours cleaning my nets. I already know there's no fish because I've been out all night and caught nothing. But because you say, I will. You ever ask your parents why about something and they said, because I said so? It comes from authority. But if Peter's wife would have come out,
dropping everything could be easy.
Hard. Suppose you're stuck doing schoolwork. beautiful day outside. And one of your parents comes in and says, hey, let's go to the music. How quickly would you drop everything and go? Now, suppose you're working on a paper that's due the next day, early in the morning. And it counts for your whole grade. You would end up staying back a year if you didn't get a good grade. You haven't even started it yet. And your parents come in and you go to me. How much harder would that be to make that choice, to drop everything and go? Imagine you had great wealth. You worked hard for it. And you liked having it. But at the same time, you loved people. You would do anything. You'd follow all his commands. And you ask him, what else can I do? And he said, sell everything and follow me. Sometimes it's going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Hey, I can just let go. I'm fine. And just move on. And follow Jesus. Other times it's going to be difficult. You're going to want to cling on to those things that you've built up, that you've worked your whole life for. Have you ever followed someone to a destination that you've never been to? And they're up front blowing through lights, making turns, and you're trying to keep up? How easy would it be to lose them if you weren't paying attention? You were on your phone, just looking out the window and not paying attention to where they're going. The same goes with Jesus. If you're tied up or focused on your own agenda, your own plans, your situation, your mess, you can't see where Jesus is going to take you. Sometimes life gets in the way. I remember a few years ago praying to God to allow me to have a different job. One where I would have the time to help others. Now, it was a struggle to even think of leaving where I was because I was comfortable where I was. I knew what I was doing. I worked with some good people. And I just hate to start over. I've done that a lot in my life. Shortly after I prayed for that, a few months, I was given a shot at a new job. One popped up and at better hours, closer to home. Seemed like it would be less stress, but there was less pay. I interviewed and got the job, but I turned it down. Because when I looked at the finances, I said, there's no way. I cannot see how can I can afford to take a lesser paying job. I know God has been very faithful at keeping us where we need to be financially. But I just couldn't see it. So I sat down and said, if we really want to do this, let's focus on getting our finances in order. So we did that. And another opportunity came up. Close to home, better hours, but still less pay. This time I said, I'm going. I'm going to take the lead. And when I did, I was scared, you know, leaving behind what I knew. I had been there for 9 years. The pay was good, but it just might be hours weren't the best. And surprisingly, after I'd been there for a couple months, they said, hey, everybody's getting a $3 an hour raise. I'm like, okay, we said we could do this on what we were getting paid. Now we're getting $3 more an hour. Got it. For help. Fridays. It's amazing that it just happened to be on a Friday when I'm available. Now, I'm sure when she called, I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure I wasn't sitting in my hammock, sipping tea, doing nothing on my Friday. I'm sure I was doing something around the house, something that I had to let go, to drop, so I can go help somebody else. One day I remember scrolling through Facebook and I saw somebody had posted, need help, need a truck. And happened to be Tyler's sister, Sam. She was looking for somebody with a pickup. They bought something, but they didn't have one, so they need someone to help pick it up. And I just, first thing I said, Carrie, messenger, tell her we got a truck if you need it. And happened to be on a Friday. Went over. Thank you. that might be hard, that you might not want to do. Just make yourself available. All I can ask is there something in my life that's stopping me from being able to help someone else? Something that I could put aside? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the message that you'd show me while I was here at camp. I thank you for the opportunities that you have given me and the road that you had set before me to be able to help others. Lord, I ask for everyone in here to be able to have that opportunity. For when you call, we answer. You know who's in need in this world, and we want to be able to be there. Lord, you're our provider and our protector. Show us if there is something that does not line up, something that we're holding on to, something that we need to drop so we can be of use to you. If our hands are full, help us find a way to let things go so we have the better opportunity of following you without all our concerns, so that we could just leave our focus on you and not on stuff of this world that'll bind us up. So we can freely follow you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.